Greetings, my fellow shipmates, and we are back here on ThisWeekInGeek.net's Future Imperfect, brought to you by SFI.org, otherwise known as Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, BigAndTallMart.com, where I get all my cool clothes, because, hey, I'm a chunky guy, but I look good. And, of course, our regular sponsors, GameAccess.ca, GamerGrub.com, and Audible.com, our newest people that are supporting us and making sure that we can indeed protect the Federation. But in this episode of Future Imperfect, as I'm often joined by my exo, the ever graceful and the voice of many, many things,
Steve Megatron Phillips.
It took me a little while there, Steve, to figure out how I was going to introduce you, but you're my number one.
Woohoo! So, better than the number two, so.
Exactly. No one likes to take a number two. Now no. That we've gone down the potty humor for this thing, we are back here, like I said, on Future Imperfect. And last time, Steve, we talked about why Star Trek needs to come back to television with some fellow people of mine over at thatguywiththeglasses.com, that sci-fi guy, and Nick. In this episode, we're going more down the roundtable format again, because we do not have ALCARS this week, because it very much ties into our topic, and I don't have any replicator stuff, because I'm still trying to figure things out with the Canadian border, middle finger to them. I will get replicator rations. I still want my stuff from ThinkGeek. I'm working on it. But in this episode of Future Imperfect, we're going to talk about technology in Star Trek that's actually starting to come a reality here in good old reality. And there's some pretty cool things that I've learned about this. I know Steve has told me about things like the transparent aluminum, but one of the things I've been doing is watching a thing on Netflix. It's probably available in the States too, called TED Talks. You can also find these on YouTube. And just seeing all the advances that are being made in space travel and computers and medical sciences, we live in a very exciting time. Although we're probably a little bit closer to first contact as opposed to Enterprise in terms of technology stuff, we are still doing some incredible things with technology. So, Steve, where do we want to start off this discussion of Tech Trek?
Well, I think that we should start out with the computer systems.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember who said it, but I think it's Murphy's Law or something like that says computers get better every 6 months. And that seems to be increasing more and more every day. It's almost, by the time you buy a computer, get it back to your house and set up, it's obsolete. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, look at any of the Alienware computers to see that in action. One of the interesting things, and I was watching this via a television series that's produced by the History Channel called The Universe, which I cannot recommend that show enough. Go over to the History Channel's website and check that series out. And they were talking about quantum computing. And quantum computing, I'm trying to figure out how the hell do I explain this? It uses quantum mechanical phenomena and quantum entanglement. And I know I'm throwing a lot of big words around right now, but they're different from regular computers in the fact that computers use transistors. And what this thing does is it changes data from bits into quantum qubits, if you will. And it's, you know, the theory is so fucking complicated to explain. I'm not even sure I understand it. But if we can get quantum computing to work at the far end of the spectrum, this would mean we could communicate with anywhere in the universe instantaneously. Because the molecules and everything else are literally already there. It's really weird. It's almost like the universe is in two places at once. And that's how quantum computing breaks down. I mean, I wish I could explain it better than what I am right now. But if you look at what quantum computing could, in theory, accomplish, look at Star Trek. And the best example of this is the transporter technology. Think about the vast computer resources that would be necessary to store a person's biomechanical pattern, right down to every molecule and atom in your body, right down to the subatomic structures. And that computer power is something in a level the human mind really can't even comprehend, but we're getting computers that are smarter and smarter every day I mean, not true AI, but computers that are starting to learn on the intelligence level of a cockroach. Think about where we were 20 years ago.
There was not a whole lot of anything. Even mobile phones were not even a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, but they were not actually mobile.
I mean, it's ridiculous to see when you see how much things are coming along. And I can't remember who said this to me, but they said civilian technology is about 5 to 10 years behind the military. Imagine what the military has right now in terms of computers and computational ability. Because I remember the Air Force was doing this a couple years ago. They slaved together 20 PS3s to do a bunch of computational work, and it all got fucked over because of a firmware update.
Nice.
Yeah, because they were all running Linux. And then when Sony said, we don't want you to do that anymore, it screwed over a chunk of the U.S. Air Force. But with the advances in technology, we can use more advanced telescopes because they're crunching data. For example, the Kepler telescope, which is the telescope that's currently looking in the universe for other sources of planets. And how it does that, it looks for a slight dimming when a planet passes in front of a star. And they can even tell you what the atmosphere is made of by looking at its spectrometer, which basically measures what kind of gases are there, what the planet's likely to be made of, what its core is made out of. And it's really fantastic time for space travel in terms of computers as well. Because when you think about how powerful the computers were to go to the moon, your average pocket calculator could technically calculate the Apollo missions.
Yeah.
I'm just a knowledge GM of this weird, stupid shit, aren't I, Steve?
It's
so funny. Like I said, watching the right television shows, you gain such an appreciation for the technology that Star Trek has really inspired. I mean, I look at astrometrics from Star Trek Voyager and Star Trek The Next Generation, where they talk about exploring the galaxy. That's always something I've been very into. And looking at the different telescopes, what the International Space Station can accomplish, the different probes that are going out there. There's one TED Talk. I can't remember who did it, but it's like the first five of them. They talk about exploring Europa with a robotic probe that's nuclear powered that can explore the under ocean of the ice sheet there and eventually come back to the surface and fly back. That's pretty impressive. And in Star Trek, they have probes like that that can go into, for example, the Bajoran wormhole or go in front of the Enterprise or whatever ships that are out there, gather scientific data and bring it back. That's incredible. The fact that we are starting to really find out what's out there. And another interesting thing about Trek is Voyager 1, or I think it's Voyager 1, is just entering a new realm of the solar system, and it's going to cross into the interstellar medium relatively soon, relatively being in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years, I think. But it's where the solar wind from our sun no longer affects it. Think about that. That's one of the furthest man-made objects in the history of civilization. There's another one called Pioneer 10, or was it Mercury 10? I can't remember which one. But it stopped transmitting like 10 years ago. And it's probably in the Hilo sheath right now, which is the also known as the Kuiper Belt. If I'm not mistaken, I could very well be wrong. Mike at thisweekingeek.net if you want to bitch at me. So yeah, Steve, I've been rattling off for about 10 minutes here. Tell me you got something.
Well, actually, there's a lot of stuff that's been inspired by Star Trek. For instance, the Star Trek pad.
Yeah.
Which is their, you know, personal access display device, which it directly inspired the, you know, futurized iPad and iPhone. I mean, they're so... And actually, I would argue that because of Star Trek and some of these technologies like that, we're actually becoming more advanced than some of the ideas originally thought of in the show.
Well, yeah. I mean, just the fact that we have tablet computing and smartphones, I mean, we basically carry a small computer with us. I mean, I have an iPhone 4S. This thing has a built-in compass. It can talk to me because I have Siri, which is not a true AI, not even a VI.
But it's still vocal recognition, which is also something from Star Trek.
Absolutely. I mean, if you remember the scene from Star Trek 4 where Scotty's talking
to the computer.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite scenes. Like, you have to use a keyboard. How quaint. It's just amazing how far computing, like mobile computing has come. I mean, even to go a little bit further, they actually have, like, in some of the Star Trek series, they have communicator badges, which you can just tap and talk to the ship. They have ones like that can work inside of buildings. And they actually have medical applications for doctors so they can talk to each other, or if they want to wear it on the lapel of their jacket, stuff like that. That's pretty cool. I can't wait till cell phones are that small.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and that's another thing, too. I mean, the handheld communicator in the show directly inspired the flip cell phone.
Which is just amazing, because think about how quaint flip phones are now. I mean, I can't think of any that still exist, really.
There's a few flip phones that still exist, but most of the market is in the smartphone.
Yeah, and that's basically your iPhones, your like Galaxies, or anything powered by like Android, basically. And you look at all the tablet PCs now. I mean, I think it's New York's JFK Airport. They give you a complimentary iPad while you're waiting in the terminal, so you can like screw around and do whatever you want. I remember reading that, and I know we talked about this on Nerd News before we canned that show over on This Week in Geek. How the airlines wanted to train their pilots and their stewardesses and whoever else was involved in maintenance of the aircraft, instead of printing off these giant manuals, here is an iPad with your thing. It saves a tree. Mind you, slave conditions in the factory, but we're not talking about that today. Man, we could almost do an entire show on the economy of Star Trek, which is weird. But yeah, I mean, it's really neat the fact that we do have things like this out there, and the technology continues to get better literally day by day. I mean, thinking about some of the algorithms in Star Trek for searching, I mean, think about when you ask the computer, can you find me something by so-and-so? And it just comes up. Basically, I think Star Trek predicted Google. In some ways, because you can type almost anything into Google, and as long as it has a couple of keywords, you'll find it.
Yeah, and in a sense, that kind of takes care of some of the other stuff. Like, they actually have a kind of prototype universal translator. They have, like, Uhura's communication earpiece, which is much more sleek and designed much better as the Bluetooth headset. There's so many new applications. I mean, they've got something now that they nicknamed Geordi for Joint Optical Reflective Display, which allows blind people to be able to see low vision, but it's still a step in that direction.
Yeah, I think it's something like 20/80. For the vision, which means you can see a billboard, but you wouldn't pass your driving test. But
no, it's a start. It can magnify objects up to 50 times, I believe it said.
Wow, that's something else to talk about, because in Star Trek, they talk about people having cybernetic replacements. There's one episode of DS9 in the first season where a girl comes from a low-gravity planet, and they have to give her this exoskeleton to walk. And they do have civilian exoskeletons. They even have military exoskeletons for people to walk around or to move heavy objects. I mean, cybernetics in Star Trek, I mean, like, let's look at Geordi. Picard has an artificial heart, for example. And there's just the medical advances for Star Trek. And you know what's weird? I found out the hypospray predates Star Trek.
Yeah, I actually found that out too while reading up on this.
And it just uses high pressure air to put the vaccine into you because you don't have to deal with a needle, thus less chance of cross contamination or infection by the attending doctor.
Yeah, they've been using that in the military for years, I guess.
I mean, that's fucking cool. I mean, there's even this thing right now. I can't remember specifically what it's called, but it uses electrical impulses, and it helps skin regenerate faster.
That's cool.
That's incredible. I mean, you can use that for burn victims. Hell, we can. I mean, there's even talk of us being able to use parts of ourselves to clone new body parts. I mean, that's another thing too. I mean, look at Star Trek. I mean, unfortunately, Khan and the genetic Superman is a very bad thing. But look at the advances we've made in genetics. I mean, we know what the baby is. We can change characteristics about the baby. I mean, that's pretty nuts. I mean, we have cloned animals walking around right now.
And you mentioned earlier, I did find it at one point on Twitter, it's somewhere, that overseas on the other side of the pond, they developed some aluminum that can, albeit for not very, very long, it becomes transparent like in Star Trek IV.
Really?
Yes. It's very thin, and it's not. They can't keep the structure for very long, but they can do it.
What are some of the applications of that?
Well, I mean, think about it. If you can make metal transparent, you could do away with glass.
Yeah, I mean, that's. Think of the military applications for that. You've made something lighter.
It's bulletproof.
Thinner. Yeah, it's bulletproof. That's pretty impressive too. And that's another thing too. We can develop ceramic armors. Much like the ablative armor that we've seen in Star Trek. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, it's just going to appear like in Star Trek, but the idea is the same. It takes the hit, absorbs the shock, and dissipates, basically shattering, which absorbs some of the impact. Cloaking fields. I remember talking about this on Twig. They've actually invented the invisibility cloak from Harry Potter. I mean, it bends light around you. I don't know if you look like the Predator or anything like that.
Well, I've seen two different iterations of this. There's one where it shows somebody wearing like this greenish suit and you can see the people on the other side and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen where they've used various cameras and made it appear that the vehicle or whatever it is has disappeared because it takes images of the other side of the surroundings.
And it just completely disappears, or can you see it if you knew what you were looking for?
It's damn near impossible to figure it out. I was watching videos on some of it. They're actually, I was also reading that in recent trials, they have made a vehicle completely disappear and predicted that an invisible tank would be ready for service by 2012.
That's fucking nuts when you think about this, and imagine applying this technology as more or less this is your cloaking field. I mean, it probably wouldn't hide all of the energy emissions, but still, that's
well, I'm sure Trek it'd be tech. Hot as hell, but yeah.
But just the fact that we have something like that, and of course, you know, the military will have this. They even have directed energy weapons right now, which they're talking about fielding, using high-intensity microwaves. Not quite a phaser, but not far off either.
Well, actually, they're speaking of which, I did find another article where they actually have something that they prototyped, called it a phaser.
And how
does it work? Does very similar. It's just, I mean, again, it's with low intensity lasers designed to temporarily blind the enemy, but the concept still applies.
I mean, one of the other things about Star Trek technology is, it obviously helps space exploration. It does medical stuff. It even has military applications. One of the things to talk about is the world of entertainment. Earlier this year, we saw the holodeck partially come to life. With
yes.
Tupac, of all people. Yeah, there was a concert where they had a fully interactive hologram of Tupac, and they said they took something like 2 years to make this thing work, but it looked damned real when you saw it on the stage performing with, I'm not entirely sure who, but I forget. I just saw Tupac hologram. What? And they're talking about doing it with like Elvis and members of the Beatles who have passed away. I mean,
I've read Microsoft's actually working on an actual working holodeck.
That would be ridiculously impossible given our technology, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, I think if you paired, you know, Microsoft and Apple together, who knows?
I mean, I'd love to see them do something more with their Kinect gaming system, because there still isn't a killer app for that. But what I mean is, I mean, if we can integrate things like the like holograms, can you imagine what this would mean for movies or stage shows?
Well, for one, they wouldn't need the physical actors.
Well, I think it would add something to it. I mean, imagine having
You know, for instance, they could use a hologram to actually show things that aren't there, that they have a dummy model. Like, for instance, you know, you have some weird alien animal, or you've got, you know, for instance, a transformer. You've got something to look at.
Yeah, and then you can actually react to it realistically, or this changes the world of theater. Imagine, I mean, this is obviously thinking high concept, but imagine what you could do in live performances. Imagine how Broadway would change if you could have holograms on stage. You could literally have Transformers the Musical, because you could have the big interactive holograms.
Or there. You could do more special effects and overlay them over top of people with the hologram.
Oh man, I never even thought about that. You could make the Terminator play if you wanted to. I mean, there's so many neat things that Star Trek really has made people start to think about. I mean, honestly, it's a really exciting time to be alive, because we're seeing all these things come together. I mean, one of the technologies that I just found out about is NASA technically has something like, or not NASA, they actually have a technology called optical tweezers. And what this is, it's small lasers that are capable of manipulating molecules and moving them with a fair degree of precision. And scientists can use this to study the physical properties of DNA. That is fucking cool. Think about all the medical applications of this. I mean, just being able to pick apart cells and eventually seeing deeper into, I don't know, whatever's next, I guess. I mean, because, like, quantum physics and all that shit, and just, I don't know. Like, I mean, I think that's a really neat tech that, you know, we're on the cusp of maybe applying that to other things, because if we can move something that small, it means bigger things are possible. I'm not sure what the real applications might be of a tractor beam, I guess, around Earth. Well, I guess if you wanted to move, maybe if there was an oncoming asteroid to Earth, you could push it out of the way. Which, that brings up another thing, which I don't know whether these guys were inspired by Star Trek. It certainly seems like something out of Star Trek or hardcore sci-fi. The people from Google and a few other places, I think James Cameron, want to bring an asteroid into the orbit of Earth and mine the shit out of it. Have you heard this, Steve? Have you heard of this particular project?
No.
Yeah, it was in the news a couple of months ago, and what they want to do is start asteroid mining, which isn't a bad idea, because you could find all sorts of rare minerals out there.
Well, and let's face it, we are running out of things on our own planet.
Yeah, I mean, we can find new sources of metal, rare metals, like, say, platinum, gold. There could be diamonds out there, and new sources of fresh water. That's another thing to consider as well, if we were to bring one of these asteroids into close orbit.
And speaking of that, there's, and it kind of ties in, with the transporter technology. In today's age, they've actually created subatomic teleportation.
Yeah, like they can move stuff across a room, more or less?
They've successfully teleported information between atoms that were roughly a meter apart, but that's still, you know, they have to pinpoint the exact location of every atom in order to get it correct. So, I mean, they're on the right track.
It's very much the infancy of it. Now, there was a technology, and I can't remember. It was called something like the Heisenberg compensator in the transporter, where it makes up for that random element in transporter tech. And I know we talked about this in Star Trek versus Star Wars, where I brought up the ethical implications of transporter. Is it really just high tech murder?
Which, you know, as you would have seen in Relics, you know, they. Where Scotty and the other guys stored themselves inside the pattern buffer, and the other guy's pattern buffer degraded, and so essentially it killed him within the transporter buffer, whereas Scotty was able to get out.
Yeah, I mean, technically we could have saved him with some fancy writing, but you can say that for any piece of fiction. Basically, it's whoever the author wants to win or live.
MacGuffin.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, tragic. He died. We'll solve that next week. But I'm trying to think of other technologies that have really impressed me in Star Trek. I mean, I think I'm most interested in cybernetics, like we did talk about, like the thing that helps people see the bionic eyes. They have artificial limbs that may even include the sensation of touch.
Well, and they have, just like in Star Trek, they have scalpel-free surgery with ultrasound surgery.
Oh, yeah, then they can use lasers and stuff. I mean, technically body sculpting, when you think of that, stuff like liposuction. You have to wonder, was part of that inspired by Star Trek, or people being able to re-sculpt their entire bodies from being, you know, terribly overweight to being able to successfully get rid of type 2 diabetes, stuff like that. I mean, the advanced surgeries of Star Trek, look at how many lives they save. I mean, like I said, artificial technologies like eyes, hearts.
Well, and they've practically killed cancer and most diseases.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think... I mean, obviously, that's the big goal of medical science right now, is to stop cancers and stuff like that, and even figure out how people can live, in theory, forever. If we can figure out the gene sequence that controls aging. That's a scary thought, though, when you think about it. If people were to just stop dying. I mean, look at Torchwood Miracle Day for examples of this.
Well, I could see them slowing it down, but I can't see them making it near impossible to die.
I think what it comes down to, it's replacing the cells that eventually become cancerous, and that's why they die. They've kind of got it figured out in mice, but if you stop breeding, then you slow down the population and genetic diversity, and well, it's a whole other ethical subsection of this, too. And that's another thing, too, to look at some of these technologies. Are there any technologies from Star Trek that we shouldn't maybe mess with?
I mean, at the same time, I like the idea of nanotechnology, but I don't, because that could so go the other way.
You know, it's funny. There actually is a scenario. It's called an end of the world scenario called Grey Goo. And what the Grey Goo scenario proposes, and some scientists take this legitimately pretty seriously, is that the self-replicating nanomachines will malfunction and continue to consume. And when they do, Earth would become a big ball of gray goo. And I know in certain Star Trek, in certain sci-fi universes, rather, they've banned nanotech because it could go terribly, terribly wrong. Or in Mass Effect, for example, they take advantage, or they ban AIs because they fear what could happen with the Geth. And, you know, the machines revolting against their masters, and looking at someone like, say, Data, what happens when we achieve the singularity and the machine says, I think, therefore, I am?
Well, like iRobot.
Yeah. I mean, what happens? How do you recognize artificial life? How do you legislate artificial life?
Well, and then they had to go through that again in Star Trek with Data because, I mean, it's that's a whole nother can of worms, though.
Yeah, and that's something else that I think I like that Star Trek occasionally brings up is technology and ethics. I mean, I think they've tackled cloning on the show where someone dies, they just clone them back with the memories they had up until that point. And I know I've seen this on Wikipedia, and I think people are seriously talking about it, is something called brain taping, which takes a snapshot of your brain at a specific moment in time with all your memories and everything, and you could, in theory, upload that into a clone body. Mind you, this technology is way off, but you look at stuff like cryogenics, which they've talked about in Star Trek, being frozen in suspended animation. We've seen it in sci-fi franchises like, God, I can't believe I'm going to be saying this, Demolition Man, to be one of them. but you look at something like Aliens, with the whole kind of hypersleep. And there's something we haven't even talked about, is warp drive, which they say is theoretically possible, just the power restraints or the power needs are astronomical as to not even be possible, but the math supports it. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm very excited to see where technology will go. I hope our reach doesn't extend our grasp, if you get where I'm going with that.
Well, yeah, and one final thing I want to bring up as far as like tech. There's actually a site where they're trying to actually build the USS Enterprise.
Really? Tell me
the
more.
Ship. It's buildtheenterprise.org, which I'll drop in your Skype window. And they have like an entire like plan. They've got scientific, you know, stuff to back everything up. They've got just all different possible methods of getting this starship built within the next 20 years. It's really fascinating if you go through the site and look at it.
I just don't know how the hell they're going to get that off Earth because of, you know, weight and thrust restrictions. But damn, that's...
I would be mighty interested to see this happen, though.
I think we should get a guy from this on our show.
Yeah, most definitely.
In fact, I'm going to write that email later tonight. But, I mean, we see so many technical advances made every day, and we see them in sci-fi being portrayed in fantastic and wonderful ways. Think about this. The world we live in today was science fiction 50 years ago. Can you imagine what the world's going to be like in another 50 years?
Yeah, I know. That's such a strange concept.
And I really hope we master some of these Star Trek technologies. Like, I want... More than anything, I want two aspects of Star Trek to come through. I want the space technology, basically the exploration part of it, to come true. Are we ever going to leave the solar system in my lifetime?
Or do warp speed.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see what's out there, and it makes me so depressed and sad. Literally, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and I will get really depressed when I think about I will never see the worlds that they see on Star Trek. And I know that seems like such a trivial thing, but when you watch television shows like Star Trek or that show I was talking about earlier, A&E's The Universe, and you see the science of basically creation and seeing all these wonderful spatial anomalies and phenomena, and just, you know, being able to see a supernova or a magnetar, pulsar, a blazar galaxy. I just said a lot of R's there. But there's just so many things out there that make me really sad that I'll probably never see with my own eyes. Or medical technology, to be able to pat someone up with, like, a little device that heals skin, or being able to give someone an injection that cures cancer or diabetes or God knows what. It's really cool. And I wish I had a more enlightening phrase to say other than that's cool, or more to say than it's exciting. But looking at Star Trek, it really makes me think that we're going to accomplish some great things.
Oh, yeah.
So, guys, we're going to leave it here on Star Trek's Future Imperfect. Like I said, we will be back in about 2 to 3 weeks. And on our next show in the month of July, we're going to be taking on our first alien race, the ones we're going to be making first contact with here on Future Imperfect. We're going to be talking about the Klingon Empire. We're going to be talking about Klingons everywhere, either in the series or in real life. Yes, there are people who think they're Klingons. And hopefully I'll find a Klingon language expert to maybe give me and Steve a lesson in good old Klingon.
And even if there's like a particular phrase or something that you really love that's in Klingon, send us a voicemail.
Yeah, absolutely. And our voicemail line is 817-717-7202. Also, Starfleet will be attending Polaris in Toronto in just a few weeks. I understand Will Wheaton's going to be there, as well as Toronto's Fan Expo at the end of August, which will include the reunion of all the Star Trek The Next Generation cast. So be sure to be checking that out. Hopefully we will have people there on the ground to cover that. And, well, like I said, guys, we'll be back in 2 to 3 weeks talking about Klingons. Hopefully by then we will have more Elkars and more stuff from the Replicator, because I know we've been promising that for a couple of shows. But you know how it is, dealing with these Ferengi. So, guys, until next time, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live long and prosper. This has been Future Imperfect, brought to you by BigAndTallMart.com and SFI, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club.